Are you not entertained? We've got you covered. Are you not entertained? The show starts right now.
The show does start right now, folks. Brock White, Lou Jansky, and it seems like we're always asking you questions. First, we asked you, what are you listening to? Now we're asking you, are you not entertained? Luke, how we doing, man? And this is like one of the oldest questions since the beginning of time. What are you watching? What's new? What's going on with you?
You know, lately I kind of went back and re-got into The Office, good show from the 2000s, and I don't know, hit a little special place in my heart again. Felt, you know, see it all the way through.
You can't go wrong with an Office anytime. If you catch a rerun, if you catch it on Netflix, is it? It's still Netflix. Is it gone from there? Is it still available via Netflix? Or
no, that's why how I watched it. I was looking for something new to watch, and then it came up, and I was like, oh man, it just hit the spot.
I feel like whenever I pull up Netflix to find stuff, I just spend like the first like I don't know like hour just flipping through, browsing, watching trailers, and not watching anything like ever like an actual show.
Yeah, I think that's just a general. I think that's half of what Netflix is for, even if you don't want to watch some. But it's funny because I've always found like if you just like decide on something that like first caught your eye and start watching it, 10 minutes in, you're into it. You don't care.
Sometimes. Now, Netflix is kind of like the old, like, if you grew up in a small town like us, we didn't have a Blockbuster, but we had like small, like, gas stations that had that VHS rentals. And you'd walk in, and there'd be like one shelf of good movies up top, like really good stuff. Then like five shelves of just crap that you'd never want to watch. And you would just kind of, that's kind of Netflix. There's like some primetime real estate, some good stuff. But beyond that, it's just a bunch of filler, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to add to that. It's, I think for as pain as much as you do, I wish they'd have a little bit more better content, but who knows? There's Monday.
I mean, yeah, I mean, they've had obviously huge, huge hits like, you know, Stranger Things and To Make a Murderer. And I loved Orange is the New Black, the first couple seasons of that. And I really, really enjoyed House of Cards till it turns out that Kevin Spacey was a creep.
Yeah, I love both those shows, too. I was super excited for the next season of House of Cards. And I just don't know if I, even though it sounds like he's not going to be on it.
Yeah, he's
or they're
done.
Gonna write it out or whatever. What's that?
He is fired. He's gone.
Gone. Yeah. Well, I'd heard some rumor that like they was gonna be in a few of the episodes or something, and they were gonna like oust him real quick or something. But I guess that was false.
Yeah. So, anyways, this is this is the new podcast. It's Are You Not Entertained? And we decided since you know the music podcast is we love music. If you listen to our show before, you know we're both live and breathe by the tunes, but we also love other stuff, man. And we found out just kind of by chatting in the past episodes, seems like wrestling came up and movies and TV shows. We figured why not just make this a generally broad pop culture, entertainment, movies, TV show, books, video games, whatever, man. Whatever you're consuming, whatever you're getting into, that's what this podcast is going to be about. And we're going to kind of just dive in some topics each week about what's tickling us. Luke's been in the office and, I just love like shows like The Office, man. I love that non-audience sitcom where there's no live audience to laugh at the jokes and stuff.
No laugh tracks.
Yeah, it seems like just that's so stale and so 90s. And when you hear it now, like it seems so jarring. It's like, ooh, that doesn't seem right. It doesn't work anymore. If you watch like an old episode of Seinfeld or you know Everyone Loves Raymond, it works still, but. When it's a new show that has a laugh track, it just seems so out of place anymore, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I had really never noticed, like, the, you know, lameness of laugh tracks till a friend of mine pointed it out. And now there's a lot of shows I can't even watch just because of laugh tracks. It's got to be a really good show.
Oh, it's over the top sometimes, it seems like. It's just too much.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know, like, back to The Office, I think that was like the first time in my life I'd ever really sat and watched an awkward humor based show. And it was like the greatest thing ever. Like awkward humor is so awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's stuff that makes you feel kind of uncomfortable and kind of makes you crawl up your skin a little bit. And you feel sympathy for those that are having those awkward moments. Like, oh man, come on, buddy. You know better than that. But there's always a redeeming arc somewhere, hopefully in there for the characters, but awkward humor, I mean, it's had a run for quite a while now since it kind of came along in the mid-2000s, really.
Yeah, you know, and how many times have you yourself or, you know, heard someone else talking about that, like, man, they should make a sitcom out of our life or something like that? Well, you know, The Office was, you know, outside being a little over the top at times in the best way ever, it was kind of that, and they did it really well.
Yeah, and I've always seemed to enjoy kind of those I guess you call them mockumentaries almost. Like, one of my favorite shows of all time is Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO, and that's that's shot as originally as a documentary, then it kind of became a day in the life kind of show, but without actually acknowledging that it's being recorded, just like a sitcom. But it follows his daily activities, and just shows like that have always just it just seems more natural than just dropping us in some weird, wacky, random setting that seems so forced.
Yeah, man, Curb Your Enthusiasm, that is probably one of my favorite Sunday afternoon I got nothing to watch shows ever. You just nestle in and go through a whole season, and it's just great every time.
I can't think of a show that I binge watched more than Curb when I first discovered it, because I kind of came, I think, about 5 seasons late to Curb when I found out what it was, and I bought them all, and I just lost myself for like a month watching Curb nonstop. And I think it's, we love Curb because there's parts of like Larry David we all see in ourselves sometime. Like, you, we all have that moment we don't want to talk to people in public, or, you know, someone thinks their baby is beautiful and it's not, it's an ugly kid. You just want to say it's an ugly kid. Those things are all real, but we can all relate to them all the time. That's the beauty of those shows. But it's, like I said, I'm so burnt out on the wacky, coincidental settings, like the over the top sitcoms, that it just seems so TGI, I forgot, what's that show back,
TGIF.
Yeah, back in the day on ABC, back in, you know, the Family Matters.
Family Matters, Step by Step, Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Which I think we all loved, but it's just, it's probably a sign more than anything that we're just getting older, that we find them to be kind of blasé anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's other shows that have come out, you know, that I don't mind. Like, I'm not a huge fan of The Ranch, but I watch it because it's something to watch when I'm out of stuff to watch. And that's got laugh tracks. But, you know, it's like you said, it's a little much sometimes.
Some of those shows, the ones you see like in your primetime, like in CBS, ABC, NBC, those sitcoms on there, really, to me, that it's like pulling teeth watching them sometimes. Like, oh, my God, this is so corny. But that's kind of their goal, is to kind of be this broad, really non-offensive, corny show that everyone can watch after dinner, after the news is done. And I kind of forget that sometimes, because I kind of want a little more spice, a little more edge. But I got to remember that, you know, How I Met Your Mother isn't supposed to be that kind of show. It's supposed to be kind of this friendlier family-friendly show, but one that everyone can kind of watch and not be taken aback by.
You know, that show, I must admit, it's probably the show I've been binge watched the most in my life. I have watched that show more times than I care to say, really? But it was a good show.
I don't know. Those, that one and Big Bang and some of those just kind of missed me. I think if I was watching other stuff or just not paying attention to it, it was what I was doing at work at the time. But those two shows just did not click on my radar at all for some reason.
First two times I tried to watch How I Met Your Mother was like awful. And I don't know. It just clicked. But the other thing I was going to bring up, too, about the difference between shows like The Office and, you know, like Parks and Rec and Curb Your Enthusiasm is, you know, when you watch shows like Parks and Rec and The Office, like, you notice people like, you know, Michael Scott or Jim or Creed or like Ron Swanson or Chris Pratt's character in Parks and Rec, like, they're just more likable. Like, you still see memes all the time from those, just because they're more like engageable and almost just lovable characters than just your typical sitcom, I guess.
That was definitely the golden age past the Seinfeld Friends era for NBC. I mean, because right now there hasn't been a quality sitcom on NBC in a long time since then.
Mm-hmm.
Since both those shows have left, you know, whatever it was 5 years ago now, whatever how long it's been. But I do have to admit, though, man, that NBC is killing it on the drama front. And this is for all the women that listen to our show, if you're out there. And all the husbands and boyfriends that have to watch shows with women that listen to the show. This Is Us is killing it on the dramedy side of things. And it's so Hallmark card, sugary, sweet, hit you over the head with how sentimental it is. But it works for some reason. And anyone that watches it just like is obsessed with the show and the outcomes in the show. And that's been my watchability lately is This Is Us. Like we've been every week. It's what time is it on? When can we watch it? So that's where I've been stuck with my content consuming the past few weeks.
Well, I've seen a Facebook post you had made about that, and I haven't seen the show yet, so you might have to enlighten me a little bit. Because I do like drama. Like, I got a fellow coworker that he just recently got into Grey's Anatomy, and I'm going to have to admit, over years of girlfriends and stuff, I got into Grey's Anatomy for a few years, even when I was single. And so I don't mind the drama TV shows, you know?
Man, I tell you what, it seems like every woman I knew in the mid-2000s loved Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, that's how I got into it, having to watch it with girlfriends and stuff, you know. But I like it, I guess.
See,
it's
fine. I was always the guy that if I had a girlfriend, I made her watch Rocky with me.
That's give and take, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're not going to watch your crap. We're going to watch Rocky. Then we're going to watch Uncle Buck. Tough luck. That's how it's going to go, lady.
Oh, man. But anyway, what's the name of that show again?
It's called This Is Us, and it's like made for People magazine and daytime soap opera talk show stuff. Like the people that stay home and watch Ellen every day and watch like the morning talk shows, it's like made for those housewives. It's just one of those.
What's it about?
Okay, well, this is kind of complicated to explain, I guess. So it's about a young couple that wound up having they were going to have triplets. And they wound up having twins because one passed away on birth. But then a young black child was abandoned at the hospital and they adopted him. So they had triplets. They came home with triplets anyways. And they call them the big three. It's Kevin, Kate, and Randall. Those are the big three. And the show does a time hop thing. It goes back and forth between present day when they were being raised, when they were babies, and when they were kids. And it weaves in and out of all the times in one episode every week. So you get to see things that happen to Randall as a kid, as an adult, as a baby, and it all plays together with these stories and flashbacks and stuff and recalls. And so that's the basic premise of the show, and it's their lives and the lives of the family. But here's the kicker is, like, one episode in or two episodes in, they tell you that the father is dead as an adult. He's not there in their present-day situation. Jack isn't there, the father. So you have to wait and wait and wait and wait to find out what happened to Jack. And they finally tell you what happened to Jack these past few episodes. And it's like everyone's having a meltdown because we spent 2 years of getting to know Jack and Rebecca and the kids and the family and getting attached to these characters. Now they've just yanked the rug out from under us. And they finally show you how Jack dies. And it's like everyone's just a puddle when they watch it.
I'm looking at it online here, and man, I really do love me some Mandy Moore, so I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, and you're gonna see Mandy Moore as young Mandy Moore, then Grandma Mandy Moore when she gets older with some makeup on and stuff. And I'll give them this. Like I said, it's if you just walk into it knowing what you're getting into, knowing that it's gonna be this really, it's a Hallmark card. The show is, it really is. That's cut and dry. It's a Hallmark card. If you accept that going into it, you'll enjoy it. But if you kind of go into it thinking, oh, this stupid, sentimental, sappy stuff, you're not going to like it. But it does have, like I said, some endearing factors. And I'll admit, I'm a fan of the show, and I look forward to when it's on every week. And it was on after the Super Bowl this week. One of the big episodes, the Jack Dies episode, was after the Super Bowl this Sunday. And it's the first time in a long time I remember buzz being around a TV show where people were like, we have to get home and watch the show. The Super Bowl party's over. We have to get home. Everyone has to get home to watch the show. We have to see what happens to Jack. It's like there was actual buzz offline, like amongst people talking to each other about a show, which you don't get very often. So they've definitely hit a nerve among certain demographics, and they've nailed it.
Well, you've sold me. I'm gonna check it out. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
What's what else we got on the old list today for stuff to talk about?
We talked about what we've been seeing. I've been trying to catch some movies lately. I went and saw Hostels in the theaters. Really
so
good.
So without ruining it, how is it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I didn't realize until a couple of years ago that I just love Westerns and like movies set in like the late 1800s and early 1900s with cowboys and Indians. That's kind of my thing. And it's right up my alley, and it's perfect, and it's made by the same guy that was that worked on the True Grit remake, and also worked on what other one I think he worked on, but Some critics said it's the best Western since Unforgiven, so that's pretty intense.
Wow. Well, speaking of which, because you brought up that's kind of what you wanted to chat about today, and you kind of got me on a slew of like, man, Western sounds good that day. So I ended up watching The Unforgiven that day. Oh, I watched Open Range, Quigley Down Under, and Crossfire Trails all in one day.
You watched some really good ones.
Yeah.
See, and I don't know if mine's just like a specific taste I like, because like, I guess my favorites off the top of my head are like Dances with Wolves. I love that one. And I love The Revenant. That was fantastic.
That was good.
True Grit was awesome. The new one they made really was really good. And
Did you like the remake 310 to Yuma?
I haven't seen that one yet. I need to watch that one still.
I think you'd like that.
And then I was late to the party of this because, like I said, I didn't realize till a couple years ago I like Westerns. I finally watched Lonesome Dove like a year and a half ago. The miniseries with Robert Duvall, the original one.
Yep.
And Tommy Lee. Oh, man, that's like one of the greatest things of all time. I felt so dumb for not having that be part of my life for years now. I missed the boat on Lonesome Dove. I was really missing out on something awesome.
I think everybody has holes in like the movies they haven't seen and what's passed them by. Like, you know, until 3 years ago, I hadn't seen Goodfellas.
Oh, pal.
Yeah, right? It happens.
But you've seen Casino, though, right?
Yeah, I love Casino. Actually, I'd watched it because you told me to check it out, I believe.
Yeah, but Casino is like, I went and bought Casino on Blu-ray. It's like because I wanted to have every copy of it known to man, like on VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray. Casino is like, I remember watching Casino when I was like a seventh grader, and it's so inappropriate for a kid that age to watch Casino. But like... When I was like in the seventh grade, my favorite movies were Pulp Fiction and Casino, and I've always loved kind of that more graphic, raw, hit you in the nerve, gritty stuff like that. And Casino, man, and Casino and Goodfellas. If you watch them like back to back, it's almost like a sequel and a prequel. Almost like they should be like in the same series of movies because it's still got De Niro and everything in there and Joe Pesci, and it's like it's like the same kind of movie almost, but. And I think they're both, what's his name, the director? Help me out here. Famous director, those movies. Boy, this is bad for an entertainment podcast, huh?
No, it's fine. Keep chatting.
I'll pull it up here, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on it right now here. You know, speaking of, while we're looking up...
Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese. That's who I thought right away, but I didn't want to sound stupid, so...
That was a major brain fart on my behalf.
But yeah, you know, speaking of gritty movies, I'd say probably the one that I saw the youngest that I was kind of like, holy cow, I don't know if I should have seen that, was Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, yeah.
That was – I still haven't watched that again since I first seen it.
Dude,
it was, once was enough.
Watching that at 18, I thought I was too old for that. I'm too young. I'm like, this is weird. This is – I don't get this. This is too much. This is intense.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not very often a movie makes you kind of like – feel like dirty and like they kind of like abused, like what did I just watch, like you're scarred for life from it. And that's Requiem for a Dream. That's a messed up movie, buddy.
Those and every time Rob Zombie decides to make a movie, and I stupidly watch it every time, I just leave feeling horrible about everything that I've just seen.
I don't watch those. I don't get into those ones, the Rob Zombie ones, or like the Saw, or that kind of stuff. The really gruesome horror ones like those, they just don't like, and they don't register on my viewing scale. I don't catch them. I don't know. I just don't. Doesn't appeal.
See, I know I get it. Like the Saw movies, I never got into. The Rob Zombies are a weird kind of anomaly. I think I just check them out because I'm oddly intrigued about how grossed out I'm going to be, but for the most part I don't watch that stuff either. Just, you know, usually Halloween week I'll throw in a horror movie or two, but other than that, yeah.
I'll tell you this, man, that the people that are into gore movies are like, that's a lifestyle.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they have the death metal music, the clothes, the movies. It's like, this just isn't a thing. This isn't a fad. Like they're freaks 24/7 year round.
Yeah, just like Gabe from The Office.
What's your favorite Office character?
Ooh.
All time. Break it down.
I'd have to say probably Dwight, but
really,
maybe in the shadows, Andy. I used to love Jim was my favorite when I first saw it, but as I've become to watch it, I think Dwight's my favorite because he's such a glue of the show. He's like, without him, it's hard to kind of make a lot of the butts of the jokes, you know?
Oh, Dwight's like the, yeah, it's, if Michael Scott's the table, Dwight and Jim are the legs. I mean, you have to have all of it to work right, and it just isn't the same show if they're not all there. And it's tough. Like, Michael Scott's like my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I was really big on Jim until the later seasons when it got kind of weird with all the Philly stuff and Pam and the teasing divorce and stuff. And it was just kind of weird.
Dude, I did not like that.
Yeah.
Not one bit.
I don't know if we need a spoiler alert for a 10-year-old show, but like that season with the divorce stuff and the cheating stuff, it was like, what are you doing? You can't do this with Jim and Pam. What the hell's wrong with you?
I will say this, though. That season ender or whatever, or the whole show ender or whatever, was probably my favorite of all time.
Oh, when it wound up with the wedding, final episode. The wedding and stuff, and he came back, and
yeah, and Michael's back, and you know, I haven't seen one that's topped it yet for me. You know what I mean? There's other great shows like, you know, Breaking Bad and all that had, you know, great enders and all that, but. Oh, I forgot. Sons of Anarchy was a pretty good one too.
Do you have like a favorite minor character in The Office? Like one of the B characters, like you know, like the Kevin.
Low key.
Yeah, Kevin was kind of good.
Man, Kevin, I'm going to let you go first, and then I'll think of one.
Well, my least favorite's Phyllis. I never liked Phyllis. I really didn't. I thought Phyllis was just kind of a buzzkill all the time. I just couldn't stand her. But
Gabe was probably my least like. I'd say
I always liked David Wallace a lot.
Ah, me too. That's a good call.
Because he always breathed a little bit of credibility to the show. Like, this guy's a real boss, and he seems like the real deal. He's, like, not this over-the-top character like they can be sometimes. Like, David Wallace was so believable. Like, I knew David Wallace was in my life. And it was like, I always liked David Wallace, the character. And then a couple times he did have his moments where he kind of went off the rails or things happened to him. And he played a really good straight man a lot.
What's I can't remember the name of that song that he sang with his kid in the living room. They had his little band when he was not working for a while.
Oh yeah, I forget that too. And then I liked Jan a lot when Jan became the Michael's insufferable bitch live-in lover with the candle business and stuff. And then she had her former assistant. She had all of his CDs and mm-hmm. played at the dinner party when they came over. It's good stuff.
Yep. No, that show. If you haven't watched it, which I'm sure everybody who's listening probably has watched it, but if you didn't like it, give it a try again. That show is a lot of great memories from that show.
Office is like Mount Rushmore of sitcoms for me. It's like the top, one of the top five, top four.
Oh, yeah. I'd say top three for me for sure.
Seinfeld, Office, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and boy, it's tough. The fourth one for me. I don't know who I'd put there.
It's too many, man. Because, I mean, the 90s had great ones, too. Home Improvement, Fresh Prince, you know.
Friends. I liked Friends. I did. I was a big Friends fan.
Friends, too, yep. Yeah. But, yeah, you know. That was such a thing in the 90s, too. I mean, that's like, you know, when you were talking about how everybody was coming, had to go home to see that. Like, I haven't heard people talk about stuff like that since, you know, shows like that.
Yeah, like the next day, like whenever something big happened on Friends, everyone talked about it in school the next day. Like it was a thing. Like it seemed like it. Everyone went home, ate dinner, and watched Friends, and then did homework and went to bed. That's kind of what the routine was when we were like in high school and junior high, because Friends was just such a big part of everyone's life, everyone's culture.
Yeah, no, I don't know. That's one show I've probably seen one too many times too.
Friends, did Friends wear you out?
No, I don't know. I think I've watched it too many times. It's got to take a lot for me to sit down and really go through it again.
Yeah, I think the one thing that everyone else talked about Super Bowl Sunday besides getting home to watch This Is Us was the halftime show. Something I didn't expect, a very, very like divisive halftime show. Like it, I thought people universally liked, because Timberlake's kind of acceptable. Like everyone likes Justin Timberlake. But after his performance on Sunday, it was kind of like it split people down the middle a little bit.
Yeah, I think people expect a little too much from it
What can it be, though? I mean, there's only so many things that it can be. It's like you have 15 minutes to do this, and it's like you can't, like, I don't know. What do they expect of it?
I think he should have done less. And let me tell you why. There was a time, Justin was on Jimmy Fallon one time, and it was just him and his acoustic guitar. Not saying he should have just ran around his acoustic guitar, but he just sang and he played, you know, a lot of his tunes, but they were kind of a little different, but they sounded really good. Yep. And I remember just loving that, you know. And then when he did this, it felt like maybe he was trying to do too much of like a big show, where it's like Justin's, like, for me, is on the level of like not as good as he is, but just on a swagger alone, or whatever the kids say, like a Bruce Springsteen or Tom Petty. You know, he could just stand and point at the crowd and go up and sing, and it would have been great.
Well, I guess what kills me too is, like, I don't mind the production aspects and over the top and stuff, but like, and this is me being an old man, like I always am on these shows, but like he didn't even sing half the time. He just walked around to the microphone and danced. Like, I want you to sing. I want you to do something here. And then finally he sat by the piano and played that song and the Prince stuff, and that was really cool. But beyond that, it's like, I don't want to watch a choreography dance show for 15 minutes. I want a musician to entertain me. That's what I'm here for. But they get so lost in making this big, like you said, I think too much production, but I you can still like sing the music. I don't get the whole just dance and point and do your routine stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to send you the link, but there was a Jimmy Fallon performance he did where he did a bunch of songs and just sang them. I think if you'd have done some along that line, it would have been
there was one time he was on there with his band, his backup band, who was there that night too. And they played that one song, It's Not a Bad Thing to Fall in Love. And it did it kind of like a band would, with no gimmicks, no loops, no anything. Mm-hmm. And it was just fantastic. It was like the best song I ever heard him do.
No, and I maybe that was the same one. I'm having a tough time remembering because a few years ago.
I think
but
it is the same episode, if I had to guess right. But
yeah, you know, I don't know. I guess I had seen Justin Timberlake on Netflix a year or two ago, had a little special that he had on there where it was one of his concerts and stuff. And I kind of knew what I was in for ahead of time, you know. So I guess I really wasn't let down. I didn't think it was horrible. Like, everybody I talked to thought it was the worst show ever. And
yeah, I don't get that part. That's just being too harsh on it for just the sake of being harsh. It wasn't that. It wasn't like it was the worst thing of all time. It was. I thought it missed the mark a little bit, but it wasn't like this horrible like dud. Like, I don't know. Like, who's had a bad one recently? I thought Katy Perry's kind of stunk when she had hers.
Yeah. Well, I don't care much for what she. Other thing I was gonna say is I thought his song choices. There was a couple ones that were in there that should have been in there, but I think he could have done a little bit better catalog. You know, going back in his catalog a little bit.
I think the main problem too is everybody wanted the NSYNC reunion and it wasn't going to happen. That's the biggest problem here.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, did you hear Spice Girls are going back on tour?
Huh?
Yeah.
They're all like 60 by now.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of gals our age and a little younger that are going to pay top dollar to go see that. Well, I think I might buy a couple tickets, go find me a new girlfriend.
If you want to be my lover. Remember that song by them, When Two Become One? I like that one.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
Giving you everything. Da-na-na. That's if someone was smart, they just booked the ultimate 90s world tour show. They'd get like Ace of Base, Hanson, Spice Girls, Chumbawamba, Backstreet Boys, Lou Bega, and they just put them all in one tour like this, like a rolling 90s Lollapalooza show. And they go, it's like major city to major city, do like a 2-day show. And that's the show they do. That'd be what it was, the whole thing. Nothing but.
Yeah, you know, and they could even do it up so where it's like kind of, you know, like they did at Woodstock that one time, do a big like revolving stage. So like it could just, there's not a bunch of switching. It's just next band's on, you know, and you could have, like you said, 6-7 people, but everybody could be home by 9, 10 o'clock, put the kids in bed.
And then it's sponsored by Surge. That's the sponsor of the tour, Surge Soda. And like MTV News will be there filming the whole, like doing documentaries on the ground and stuff. Kurt Loder is going to be there. And then everyone's wearing Beavis and Butthead shirts. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, my God.
I'm in, man. The 90s got to come back a little bit.
Yeah, get visors, you know. tour visors so everyone can wear them. Remember that when people used to frost their tips and wear visors backwards and upside down?
Yeah, I remember that. I was on that train for a while. I never did the visor, but I had frosted the tips quite a bit back in the day.
Well, I did too, but yeah. Anyway.
It's like that's what we did, man. I remember when Eminem first hit, there was like five guys in school the next day that had bleached peroxide blonde hair.
Oh, I did. I remember I did.
Exactly, because it was badass. And I had frosted tips. I had the Joy Fatone NSYNC haircut, which is my famous lesbian gym teacher picture everyone knows about.
With your crew gel in?
Yeah, American crew gel. I had a hoop earring in. That was just an Izod polo shirt.
Yeah, the 90s, man.
Simpler times, my friend, simpler times.
Jeans way too big for you?
Oh, Janko jeans flared out. Or if you had Tommy Hilfiger jeans with the hoop, the little patch in the bag, you can slide it through and you're good to go.
In Scranton, when I was younger, it was the silver tab jeans, those Levi's big, silver tabs.
Those were a big deal because they sold them at Dale's Clothing in Bowman where we grew up at. That was, if you could go there and buy a pair of those, you were pretty big shit back in the day. nostalgia, my friend, nostalgia. What are you not entertained? What are you listening to, and what are you wearing? That's the show now.
I did. I recently, speaking of stuff like that, I ordered some beard care stuff because I'm growing out my beard, and I must say it's probably some of the best smelling stuff I've ever cologne anything I've ever had in my entire life. I smell like a rich old man.
Like a beard oil?
Yeah, it's like a beard oil.
Like tea tree, like mint. What does it smell like? Like leather, like spice?
Like I don't know. It just smells. It's got, you know, some amber in there. I know it's got some woody smell. It's got some like kind of clovey smell to it. Little tobacco smell. It's, I don't know, explain it. It smells a lot better than I'm describing it, but.
Well,
I smell like a rich old man that feel like I should have a pocket watch when I wear it.
Well, you don't have a pocket watch, but you do have a pipe. And you like
to, I do have
you,
a pipe.
You
yes.
smoke pipe now, like pipe tobacco.
Yeah, I need to quit smoking, and you know, pipe tobacco you don't inhale. And we started smoking. You got me into cigars this year, and it's kind of thought about it. And man, I tell you what, dude, it's I'm not condoning smoking on the show. If you're underage, you know, stay away from it. But for myself, it's really helped with not smoking cigarettes and all that stuff. So I love it, man. I can't wait till springtime.
Well, you kind of mentioned like your routine, like pipe tobacco makes you want to like hang out and listen to like chill jazz music, like good jazz, like Coltrane, like the real deal.
Yeah, all that stuff. You know, luckily enough, I found this playlist on Spotify, and it's called Late Night Jazz, actually, and that's kind of the jazz I like to listen to. And man, that's been burning a hole in my phone for the past, I'd say, 2 weeks now. Wow. Just every time I go somewhere, usually that's when I have my pipe because it's too cold to do it outside. And boy, I tell you what, man, I don't know what it is. I don't know, maybe if it's just you, that's what you think you should listen to, and you smoke a pipe or have a cigar. But like blues and jazz, man, that all goes together just so well.
I think the cigar and the blues are like made for each other. And I don't know if it's just, like you said, if it's just like you think in your head that way, if it's actually like a real thing for some reason. But there's nothing better than like the summertime outside, little music playing, a cigar going, a nice night, a little fire. That's like, hurry up and get here. I can't wait for 2 months from now when it's kind of warmer out. I can finally do that stuff again because I'm going crazy without it, man. I need to get outside, light a cigar, and listen to Jason Isbell for 2 hours. That's what I need in my life.
I hear you, man. It's fine. You know, the winter's here and it is what it is, but I'm right there with you, man. I think I'm going to go crazy if it doesn't get warm enough soon enough so I can just sit outside, like you said, and go see friends and sit outside and do that too, man. Oh, my Lord.
Well,
drive me nuts.
I'm that guy that likes to be the positive guy. Like, okay, we know where we live. It's fine. You'll get through the wintertime. You're going to be okay. Don't stress out about it. But like by February though, I'm the guy that's like, holy cow, let's hurry up and get here spring. I've had enough of this miserable cold place I live in. It needs to get better quick. Hurry up.
Yeah, North Dakota always sucks. Pretty much after New Year's, it's about 2 months of hell, and then we're fine.
And then I kind of lamented too. I did a funeral for the crockpot on Sunday night after the Super Bowl's over. I'm like, you know, this is the end of crockpot season until probably next fall, and that bums me out because I like making dips and stuff and having people over and watching football or whatever and enjoying our Sundays, and that bums me that's like done for a few months for like the rest of the year. So it's another part of the reason why it's like after Super Bowl's done, those parties are done, there's no reason to get together for a while. It's like, oh, man, this is brutal. What are we going to do? Like, can I sit inside and watch crappy TV for so long, you know? But
yeah, I'm looking here, and it looks like the started to go left here, but it looks like the Celtics are going to lose tonight. Gosh darn it.
Well, you better be concerned, man, because the Cavs had a big day today, the trade deadline. They went nuts.
Oh, my Lord.
Pal, what's that all about?
I sent it's a pretty common meme. It's one of the Keaton Peel or the whatever that Keaton Peel or whatever that guy's name is. It's that meme of him sweating a whole bunch, staring literally nervous ahead of him. And I sent that to a mutual buddy of ours when we were talking about the trade with the Cavs today. Holy smokes, man.
Dude, that's I've never seen a team rebuild on the fly on one day like that and during the middle of the season. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think Danny Ainge, even though he won that trade this year, hands down, obviously, I think he, for a little bit there, was thinking, I got it. You know, I got him. Got it figured out. Dude. And I think today he's probably like, oh, shoot.
Nah,
you know?
Dude, if you're the Cavaliers, you turned Kyrie Irving into Jordan Clarkson. Because you went Irving to IT to Clarkson and Nance. That's a loss. That's not good. That's Danny Ainge won that trade all day, but... If you're the Cavaliers now, what you're thinking is, okay, we have some young guys here. We have some contracts in the books for a couple of years. If LeBron leaves us, we still have that 2018 Brooklyn pick. So maybe we can rebuild with that guy and kind of get better. But if LeBron stays, we have the pick and these young guys, and we can be really competitive. So it was a pretty savvy day for the Cavaliers. And I don't know how much LeBron had to say in all that, but I think it sets them up good both ways, whether he stays or goes next year.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's such a... I listened to a few podcasts that we both listened to of basketball, and they've been going round and round about it, and I just don't think... I don't know what he's going to do. You know, I've heard it brought up, too, that he can retire for a year or two if he wants.
I don't think he goes out west. I don't think he wants to be any part of the West at all. I don't think he wants to be fighting that gauntlet of Warriors, Rockets, Thunder... Timberwolves now. He doesn't want any part of that, I don't think. So I think he stays in Cleveland, and then I've been hearing outside rumors that he might be Philadelphia bound next year. There's a chance because they have cap room.
Ooh.
And it's a young team with some real good guys, and you can really bring them up. So that's been floated around the past couple days now too, but that'd be interesting if that was the case.
You know, and this isn't as smart of a play as you came up with, but I've always been interested to see since this year what LeBron would do with Giannis.
That'd be fun. I'd watch that. I just don't see LeBron going to Cleveland or Milwaukee. But
No. I just thought that'd be interesting. But, yeah, Philadelphia, man, that would be exciting.
You put Embiid, Simmons, LeBron on the same floor. Ooh, buddy, that'd be trouble for anybody. That'd be a lot of trouble. But we thought that Kevin Love and LeBron and some other guys would be trouble, and really hasn't been too much for some teams this year. But we'll see, man. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out and to see if the Cavaliers can make the push for their fourth finals in a row. That's tough, man. And then for LeBron, it would be his eighth finals in a row. That's a lot of miles to keep going every year like that. That's tough. That's unprecedented. Not since Bird and the Celtics back and the Lakers back in the day has that happened.
Yeah, you know, and oh, we got overtime now. Thanks. I'm gonna play by play this game. But the finals fatigue is such a real thing, you know. And LeBron, he keeps getting better too. Like, it blows my mind how, you know, regardless of what happens this year, I'm just still blown away by what's happened.
I think we talked about this with some friends when you came to town last week. We had a few beers and sat down and chatted about this. Do you think that maybe LeBron's going to have the Kobe problem, like in a couple of years, like his body just falls apart all of a sudden? Because one thing we always say about LeBron is, oh, he's so durable. He's played all these games, all these finals trips, and he's never had a major injury. He's never had an injury really in his career. So I just wonder, like, does the bottom fall out in a couple of years, like with Kobe, or does he keep trucking like this unbelievable specimen that he is?
Well, I have two ways of thought in it. I think LeBron for sure, Lord willing, he doesn't have a bad injury, has another good 2-3 years in him, and then I think he's going to Kobe out. Maybe more. I think he's a little bit more of a well-put-together athlete than Kobe is, obviously. Or, and you know, I hope this never happens, but, you know, LeBron could be laying on the floor with a broke ankle, like we've seen a few of them this year, and, you know, everyone's going to have to find out what the NBA is like without LeBron James, and I don't think they're going to like it, not yet anyway.
No, that's the day he's gone. That's the day the league loses a lot of luster right away, a lot of star power, because he's one of those transcendent athletes of the time, for sure. He's, you know, there's Messi and LeBron and Jeter and Kobe, just one name guys like that. There's not many of those around in the world nowadays. And the day he goes, it's going to be a shock to the system. It's like, just like when Jordan left. I think Aaron, when any one of your marquee best in the world guys leaves, that hurts. It hurts the league big time.
You know, and I mean, best example I could give of LeBron is they had like a team that was already one of the best teams that's ever played in the NBA all around, had to get probably the second best player in the league to come play with them just so they could beat LeBron James. Yeah. That's how good he is.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's a 73-win team couldn't beat him, so they had to get one more guy to get the job done. And then not just one more guy, like you said, the second, some would say maybe even the first sometimes, but definitely at least the second best player in the world of the past couple of years, for sure. Isn't that so weird with the Warriors, man, how like it almost feels like Steph Curry's an afterthought there anymore with Durant being there?
Which is weird because, I mean, since he's been back from his injury, man, Steph Curry has been just, like, fun to watch again. You know, first, before he got injured this year, he was kind of like, well, whatever, Steph Curry, I guess I'm over it. But I've been enjoying watching him play again since then. And like, I don't like the Warriors, but
it's so
I like
crazy how we go from 2 years ago. Like, 2 years ago, it's Steph Curry, he's a basketball god, he's transcendent, and kids want to be like him, to like, yeah, he's the guy on Durant's team. You know, he's really good, but it's Durant's team. Like, what? How does that happen to him?
I think what happened was, I mean, Curry changed. He was a league changing player. You know, the way the league plays now, I think it was already headed that way. I think it was just he was a little ahead of the curve. I think that's what happened is, you know, teams like the Rockets and all that caught up to how, you know, he set it up. You know,
well, and you're seeing guys come in the college game now, like this Trae Young for Oklahoma. You got to think, keep in mind, Trae Young's 18 years old. He's been watching Steph Curry play basketball since he was probably, what, 13, 12, this kid has. So he's been emulating his game growing up in high school and junior high. And now he comes into college, and he's playing that Steph Curry game, those long, ridiculous 40-point shots, three-pointers. And it's like, oh, that's where the game is headed, because it's the evolution. Everybody wants to be like that. That's where the game is going. And you're seeing it come down the college game, and it's like insanity. Like, everyone's just chucking up these long, long behind the arc three-pointers, and it's like, oh, that's the Steph Curry effect. It's taking place. Here it is now. It's manifesting itself.
Yeah, you know, and it really, you know, it spreads the floor like and nothing I've ever watched before. I mean, like, how wide open the floor is. But, I mean, look at it this way. Like, here's a question I have for you. You know, like, We have three-point shooting. I mean, you have people like Kevin Love's where people are more stretch fives than – or people looking for more stretch fives than your, you know, your DeAndre Jordans and stuff like that. Do you ever think there's going to be a time in the future when, like, your Shaquille O'Neals and people of that nature are going to come back to the game and be sought after? Or do you think they're kind of a dead breed?
Nope. You have to be, like, the Embiid, the Porzingis, the Karl-Anthony Towns, the Antetokounmpo. You have to be that versatile hybrid if you're going to be a big man like that. You have to have a jump shot, a fadeaway, post game, all that stuff. It just doesn't work anymore because it just clogs the floor up. Like you said, we saw it with the Clippers. You can't play Griffin and DeAndre Jordan at the same time. It didn't work because it's just everyone knows what's going to happen. They can guard somebody else. So I think those days are gone, and it's just the evolution of the game. It's where things go, and I'm okay with it.
It does make it. It makes it more of an exciting game. I mean, more people watch the NBA now than they probably have in the past 10 years. I think.
Look at the Rockets. The Rockets attempt 40 three-pointers a game. That's their average this year. That's insanity. I mean, yeah, teams that didn't take that many three-pointers in a season back in the '80s. It's the game's more wide open. The court's expanded. It's a lot more fun to watch now. And if people that argue that and say like I can't stand watching the NBA. It's everyone's so weak, and it's not like it was back in the day. Yeah, because it's better than it was back in the day. It's way more advanced. It's way smarter basketball than it ever was.
And speaking of centers, sorry to bring it back to that, but Porzingis, I didn't hear exactly what happened with his injury.
Tore his ACL. He's done for the season. He's out.
Oh, okay.
That's a bummer, man. That's a bummer for
me. That is a bummer.
And it's the LeBron All-Star team curse, man. John Wall, Porzingis, Kevin Love, these guys all hurting, and they guys run his All-Star team. He selected in his All-Star draft. So it's like a real thing. It's the LeBron All-Star team curse.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's been a lot of really hard to see injuries this year too, especially recently. It's been kind of weird.
They're talking about your boy Hayward might be back for the playoffs.
You know what I think's happening? I think because they keep saying like he's not coming back. Because like the big overall thing I keep hearing is he's not coming back. Don't even bank on it or whatever. I think is going to be a secret thing, to where all of a sudden he's just going to be dressing. Round two, or something like that.
They showed me the other day, there's an Instagram picture a week or two ago. He had no brace on his leg, and he was throwing up shots. Like, oh, holy cow, that was quick.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do, I remember when the injury came and they started talking about it, one of the guys that was working with him as far as his rehabilitation, all that was talking about, he just has the best mindset that you can have, bar none. To come back from this injury, and I think maybe that helps.
The modern medicine alone is like game changing with stem cells and platelets and blood treatments and stuff, and in therapy, he has the world at his fingertips to get better. That's his only job right now. So there's ways to do it. It's just a matter of number one, do you want to test the waters? Is it worth risking his health long term? Number two, does the team and playing all together all year without him, do you want to interject that and maybe mess the chemistry up? Do you want to take that risk? I don't know.
I'm kind of divided with it because part of me wants to just be like, just get healthy for next year. Yeah. This is a good – I'd rather have him healthy with, Tatum with a year underneath his belt, Brown with another year underneath his belt, and whoever else we decide to go with, and all that. But also, too, if he is healthy and they like for sure think that he can come back, it'd be nice to have a little more scoring. I mean, that's the only thing that's really held us back this year is, we are not an offensive dynamo.
What's the update of the game? What's the score?
5-3 with 2 minutes left.
There you go.
Yeah. So hopefully we can win this one. It'd be nice to kind of finish off everything before the All-Star break with a little zazz, maybe.
Hey, what's I know this turned into 20 minutes of basketball talk, but we love basketball, so it's going to happen on the show once in a while. What's that book you want to talk about getting made into a movie? What's going on with that thing, that Meg, whatever it is?
Oh, Meg. So essentially what it is I really don't know how to go into this without sounding nerdy. I really like sharks since I've been a little kid.
We're nerds. Be a nerd. Who cares?
I always have. And Jaws is probably my favorite movie of all time, and I've always been really into Shark Week and all that stuff. And I recently got into a book series called Meg, which is it's about the prehistoric shark Megalodon, which is essentially like a 60 to 70 foot great white, where we could literally walk inside its mouth. So huge and really cool for a guy like me. And it was a wonderful book, where they kind of accidentally brought up this Megalodon shark up from the Mariana Trench, and it kind of wreaks havoc. And I guess they're making a movie about it. And Jason Statham's in it, which I'm not super pumped about because I don't like Jason Statham too much besides Snatch. That's like the only movie I liked him in. But everybody that's been on the movie and everybody that's kind of had anything to do with it, they say it's kind of like Jaws meets Jurassic Park. So kind of intrigued to see if they do something good with it or if it's just going to be another, overly CGI'd Hollywood flop. But the book's really good, and the storyline's phenomenal, and it's really engaging, and it kind of how everything happens makes sense. It's not just a weird, that could never happen type scenario,
It's not like Sharknado. It's like...
No, quite the opposite. So I'm excited for that. I hope they don't mess it up, but we'll see. Definitely, I'm hoping it comes out this summer. It'd be a nice, fun summer blockbuster to go check out.
Speaking of which, man, another thing that divided the country on Super Bowl Sunday was the trailer for Dwayne The Rock Johnson's new movie, Skyscraper. And boy, people had feelings about that one, too. They thought that was cheesy, over the top, and they couldn't believe the jump at the end into the building off the skyscraper, off the crane. And that blew Twitter up on Super Bowl Sunday. They had a heyday with that one.
I did not catch that. I must have been up grabbing some food or something like that when that one came on. I did not catch that one.
It's your typical summer action movie, like the Rock movies with like a natural disaster and the Rock has to save the day and be a hero and be the Rock, you know? Which I'm cool with. That's good popcorn stuff, you know? Get a popcorn, Diet Coke, enjoy yourself, forget life for an hour and a half. I'm fine with that. But at the end of the poster for the movie, at the end of the trailer, shows him jumping out of like off a crane into an open window in a burning building. But the jump is like, I don't know, like a 500-foot jump. And it's like, well, just that it wouldn't happen. And Twitter went nuts with it on the day after the Super Bowl and the day of. And they had scientists doing like graphs and charts and stuff saying how it's physically impossible. But you have to check out the trailer for it. I think, like I said, it's an unoffensive blockbuster summer action movie is what it is.
I'm going to have to check that out. Oh, man. Yeah, it's not the 80s anymore, you know. Stallone and I don't think there's going to be another Stallone and Schwarzenegger anytime soon, you know.
It's a crying shame. It's a damn shame.
It is a crying shame.
I could really go for some Bird on a Wire or movies like that or what's the one? Lethal Weapon, man. Give me some Lethal Weapon. Hook me up with that. Let's go.
Die Hard. I was up chat with my dad upstairs, and he had the second newest, whatever, Live Free, Die Hard on. And, yeah. You know, it's not the best one, but, I mean, even those movies, they're all great to watch. But I just don't know if they just don't make actors that play those characters well enough anymore or if it's just the writing, you know, is just not good enough anymore for it.
Yeah, it seems weird, like with all the outlets we have nowadays between Amazon Video and Netflix and all the places making movies now and the ways to consume content. Like, why isn't stuff like that getting out there to people? Like, if someone's writing it and trying to make it, why isn't it getting the green light? Why are we still making all these remakes and stuff and this boring crap over and over again? Why can't we get another crazy action hero franchise launched or something? You know, I don't know. But I'm also the same guy that's like so exhausted and tired with the superhero movies. I'm over them. I'm just enough.
I'm kind of weird middle of the line on that. The Marvel movies, I think that like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange, even though that they kind of play into the storyline pretty well and kind of add some parts you didn't know, I think they've had too many extra heroes. I think you can just add them in if you need to in the movie and do a quick like minute long, okay, this is this guy and this is why he's here, you know, and let's move on.
I will say this, a lot of folks, there's been a lot of buzz around Black Panther coming out this next week. That's getting a lot of hype. People saying it's like one of the best Marvel movies of all time.
I hope so. I liked his character in the, I think it was the Civil War movie is when he first made his appearance, Black Panther, and I think that guy did a great. He was actually probably one of my favorite characters in that movie. He played it very well, and yeah, it's kind of a character kind of hard not to like, you know.
Yeah, it's
very old school.
A lot of hype. A lot of people fired up over this one, and it should be good. I will say though, I had to get a chuckle out of this man. The far right on Twitter, the far right conservatives on there, they're pretty mad about the Black Panther movie, and they're fired up about the fact that they're making a movie about the Black Panther civil rights protesters. They don't realize it's not about that. They think it's
they think that's what.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I had the same reaction. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. Yeah, people need something to complain about, I guess.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's ridiculous, though. No, I'm excited for it. I'll probably go see it, you know. I missed Star Wars this winter, so I kind of made it a point to kind of check out all these new ones coming out. I need to quit missing them. Because going to theaters is great, man. I really like it. I like sitting down in the popcorn, going to a place with nice comfy seats and, you know, hanging out.
I'll say this. If you're someone that likes to go to movies a lot, like 2-3 times a month, you need to get one of those movie passes. Have you seen that thing?
Uh-uh.
It's $10 a month is all you pay for it. And this is not an ad or anything, but it's called MoviePass, $10 a month. And you get a card, like a credit card, and you can go to unlimited movies as much as you want with this little MoviePass thing. And it's accepted at most theaters. The Dickens Theater takes it. The Bismarck Theaters take it. And it's just go to as many movies as you want a month. No limits, anything you want. And just swipe your card and go. That's all it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
It costs you like just about that much just to go to a movie.
I know. Once you do,
wow.
And once you had snacks and stuff, it's a $20 fare each time you go just for one person, you know?
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I might have to. Anyway, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Movie Pass, you need that. You need to get into that, I think. It's worth the $10 a month, whatever it is. Yeah. All right, brother. Well, this has been good. First episode, we in the books here. It's going to change every week. It's just kind of what what's on our mind, what's happening in the world, what's going on out there in pop culture and in entertainment, and what we're watching, what we're consuming. It's there's really no set thing here. It's kind of be a free flowing conversation, kind of like today was, I think.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's going to take us a bit to figure out, you know, how we like to do things. But I think once we get going, I think it's going to be some fun to hang out and do.
That's right, folks. Roll with us here. You're going to see some changes to the stuff on iTunes and the Facebook stuff. So just bear with us as we get things figured out and changed around here. But as always, thanks for listening. As always, Luke, it's been fun, man, my friend.
Yeah.
Our first time doing this over Skype. I think we did okay here.
Yeah, not bad. I'm not a big fan of it. I like in person, but yeah, with the weather outside, kind of had to be that way.
Yeah, full disclosure, we're doing this on a Thursday night, and it is blowing like a mother out there. There's snow everywhere and bad visibility, bad roads, so we had to resort to option number two since we live like 80 miles apart here, but I think it worked out all right for sure.
Not too bad.
All right, my friend, we're going to wrap things up here. Luke, it's been good as always, buddy. Thanks for listening, folks. Are You Not Entertained? Episode 1 of the books. Thanks so much. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks right here on the old podcast machine.
Are you not entertained? We've got you covered. Are you not entertained? The show starts right now.